Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome into another edition of the Dynasty Blueprint. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell. I'm joined, as always, by Matt Williamson. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Yesterday, I was actually under the weather and sniffly and coughing and bad throat. And today, all I've been doing is talking on the air, so I guess I'm back.
That's a good combination. It's definitely going around. I think everybody's ready for warmer weather. And in our world, warmer weather means free agency and more draft talk and things like that. So we're definitely ready for that. We've got the combine that's now, what, I guess, about 3 weeks away. I think that's right. Two or three weeks away.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'm not sure if I told you that, but I'm
no,
going,
no.
Yeah, I'm driving there Monday of the combine week, which is a little early, doing shows Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, driving home. It's about a 6-hour ride from Pittsburgh to Indy. So I'm excited about it. It's good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Soon after, I guess 2 weeks after the combine, is free agency in the new league year in mid-March when things really get crazy. They got a little crazy today, I guess. We had a little preview or a little hint with the AJ McCarron news. Maybe we're just desperate for news in February. I don't know that this ends up having a big impact. Any thoughts on McCarron?
Well, I would like you to enlighten me. I didn't see the news. Did we get a ruling on if he's a free agent or not?
We did get a ruling, and he is a free agent. He won his case, so he is an unrestricted free agent. I think the it's definitely fair to assume or presume that he will not be back in Cincinnati.
Yes.
So obviously, everybody wants to point to Cleveland based on their earlier interest, and that's understandable. Just with all the salary cap space they have, I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense.
See, that one does to me. Like, immediately that came to mind was, okay, Hugh Jackson will get his dude that he was in Cincinnati with and supposedly tried to trade for, but that's not enough. You know, like, it's almost, they have, what, $100 million or something to spend in the cap. It's almost hard to spend that. There's just not enough good players out there to get to that number.
Yeah, so I mean, they almost have to get Cousins or Bell, or
both of them.
I'm not going to speak to what the defensive side of the ball looks like in free agency. Maybe there's a couple big names out there.
Nothing like that, though.
Right. But they almost have to get one of those guys, or they're going to have to massively overpay, which is probably going to end up being the case.
Yeah, and maybe they would massively overpay for McCarron, but I would sort of condone it if you look at it this way. Is our plan is give McCarron better than Glennon money a year ago. You know, I mean, starter money, but not obviously what Alex Smith just got or Cousins or Jimmy or any of those type of guys, obviously. And you go into, and then you still use the first overall pick on your favorite quarterback. Or you take Barkley one and take a quarterback at four. Either way, you plan on adding Darnold, Rosen, one of those type of guys. And then you go into the season with McCarron, your rookie quarterback of choice, and Kaiser. That's not so bad. I mean, I got to think between the three of them, especially the top two, you may have actually solved the quarterback dilemma that has haunted this team since before I was there a million years ago. And it really wouldn't even eat that much of your cap.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Cleveland is the obvious connection to draw there based on what we saw back around the trade deadline. So we'll see what happens there. I did already see a rumor or a report that they would at least hope to go exactly what you're mentioning. Sign McCarron, draft Darnold, and go with that. If that happens, which I do think is pretty realistic, if that happens, I at least hope they trade Kaiser.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I mean, I know he's not there anymore, but Bruce Arians in Arizona or a team like that, I would think would give you a fourth or a third for Kaiser still, don't you think? If you liked them a lot just a year ago.
Yeah.
Something back, right.
Yeah, fourth or fifth, whatever. Every team is going to know that Cleveland's not in position to demand too much. But at the same time, Kaiser's pretty cheap to keep on the roster if they just want to punish the kid and hold him as their third string.
Right.
they basically punished him his entire rookie season in a different way.
But they have Kessler, who just screams backup, and right. they liked him at one point, too. So you're not going to go to camp with all four. So maybe you would get something for Kaiser, and I bet he'd love to get out of there.
Yeah, I hope he does. Matt, today we're going to answer some listener questions, and we've got a big variety, some draft talk, some free agency talk, strategy, dynasty strategy, and really everything in between. I think, Matt, we got the most questions that we've ever had for this this type wow. of show. We usually don't get to answer them all, and we've started with a few minutes of Browns talk. I don't know if that's the right way to start the show, but we'll answer as many as we can. Maybe we'll kind of go more rapid fire this time.
Yeah, maybe that's the way to go.
Instead of some deeper conversations. First question.
Wait, I got a rapid fire one for you. I'm sorry. I had to interrupt.
Okay.
Of course, as usual. Two quarterback leagues. Are you giving a third round pick for Kaiser then, hoping he ends up somewhere else? Or something for him, or get him as a throw in, or kind of target him a little bit?
I'd probably give a third, I guess. I mean, this draft class is super deep, especially at running back and quarterback. You're probably not getting one of those big name rookie quarterbacks in the third round. So I would not give a second. I would sell okay. for a second. And I do have him in a few super flex leagues. A third is, yeah, I'd probably buy for a third. That's pretty close.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if I were the Steelers, I wouldn't mind having Kaiser as my maybe heir apparent, or the Chargers, you know, some haven't sit for a year or two.
I mean, we know what he did from a fantasy football perspective. I think he had four or five, maybe even six quarterback one games fantasy wise. But we also understand from a football perspective only how bad he was for most of the season. So taking fantasy completely away from it, with your scout's eye, did he show enough to earn another job or even a roster spot on another team?
See, I liked him a lot more than a lot of people did coming out. You know, I was a fan of him coming out of Notre Dame. And I also really, I don't mean to not place blame on him because he was bad and really bad in the red zone and forcing interceptions and tight. But I thought Hugh Jackson did a tremendously poor job with him. You know, that no RPOs or easy throws. I mean, they're all long developing things that veteran quarterbacks have a hard time executing, let alone a rookie that didn't have receivers for much of the year. I thought they did him no favors.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, let's get into our question. First one from Jaden. Hey, guys, love the show. Thank you, Jaden. 12-team, half PPR, two quarterback league. He's got Garoppolo, Dak, and Deshaun Watson. He needs some stronger running backs and wide receivers. Trade Watson for Luck and Hilton in a two quarterback league. So Watson has increased value. We could even say first round startup value, at least. Some people would probably argue even top five or six overall value in that format. Luck, of course, we know what's happening to his value and it's not good. And same thing for Hilton, partially as a result of Luck's absence. Matt, I don't think you play in any two quarterback leagues, do you?
I don't, but I'm leaning towards yes on this deal. And my thoughts are, and my question to you is, Watson worth that much more than Luck right now in a startup in this format? But I'm thinking about it from this guy's perspective, saying if Luck never plays again, which I don't think is going to happen, but it could, it doesn't kill your team. At least you have guys to fall back on. If he comes back, I think you win the deal.
Yeah, if he comes back, you probably do win the deal. I would just have a hard time buying damaged goods, basically, for in this format, one of the top players in the league. Maybe even I've seen plenty of people argue that Watson should be the quarterback one in Dynasty. And if that's the case, then he's probably the top overall player in this format. I don't know if I'm ready to go that far, but he's up there.
He's also coming off an injury and has a terrible offensive line.
That's true. It's,
you know,
we like to remember all the good things about right. about Watson and even Carson Wentz, who of course also has the injury. Honestly, I would probably just keep Watson. If you need some wide receivers or running backs. I'm using those picks, especially with running backs. Any picks you have, I'm sorry, using those for running backs this year, another strong class, as we all know. And then just building some depth at wide receiver, aiming a little lower than even guys like Hilton would probably be my play, and keep that advantage, huge advantage you have at the quarterback spot. Next question from Thad. How do you approach drafting running backs in a startup given the infusion of young talent at the position? So, Matt, just a couple of years ago, or really throughout the past 3, 4, 5 years, you and I have both built dynasty teams in a similar fashion around young players, around wide receivers. And we've had bits of conversation on here that admitting that both of us are ready to change that strategy due to the, just like Thad said, the infusion of young talent. And 2 or 3 years ago, we just didn't have many talented running backs in the league, let alone young running backs. And we know what has come the past 2 to 3 years, and including this incoming crop with Barkley and Geis and a lot of depth after those guys. So are you on board? Are you taking running backs early in the draft? Would you even hesitate to take a running back in the first round?
No, I wouldn't hesitate at all. And all the mocks and, you know, quickly things we've done on here, I always end up with a ton of running backs. My tune's 100% changed on this. And excuse me, I just wrote an article for a draft magazine last night basically saying your team, and this isn't fantasy related, your team shouldn't be avoiding Barkley because running backs are, you know, you can get them anywhere. And so I went to drafthistory.com and I pulled up all the running backs that have been drafted. And when I started playing fantasy, was really, you know, 3, 4 years ago, dynasty, I mean. And the 2014 running back class, Sankey, Hill, Hyde, Charles Sims, Trey Mason, Terrence West were the first guys drafted that year. The year before that was Gio Bernard. Again, no first rounders. Lev Bell, who's awesome, but took a while. He's kind of changed himself since he's been in the league. Monte Ball, Eddie Lacy, Christian Michael, Niles Davis, Jonathan Franklin. You know, so there wasn't good running backs coming into the league those 2 years. Right. And even the year before was Trent Richardson was third overall, but he busted. And David Wilson was a first-round pick. And, you know, Isaiah Pede and Michael James and Ronnie Hillman. I mean, these are highly drafted guys that weren't good players.
I really just – I don't know. I wonder if that has to do with –
I have no reason for it.
With the college game, I wonder if that has changed. I watch a lot of college football. I don't know that I could diagnose any differences there than what we saw 5 or 10 years ago, or 3 or 4 years ago, I guess I should say. I did look back at some of our ADP over at DLF. So 2 years ago, February of 2016, there was one running back in the top 12. So one first round running back. In the first 2 rounds total, there were 3 running backs, and there were 6 running backs in the top 3 rounds. So out of the top 36 players, you had 6 running backs. Currently, our ADP was actually just released, Matt, right before we started this show.
Oh, cool.
There are 7 running backs in the first round currently. So 2 years later, there are more running backs in the first round than there were in the top 36 overall 2 years ago. And if you stretch it out right now to that 36 number, almost half of them are running backs, 15. 15 out of 36 are currently running backs. And so many in that rookie class of 2017, we've got a couple more at least coming in that people are going to value immediately as top 10 to 12 running backs. So to give Thad a long answer, really no hesitation to draft running backs. I still like the idea of building around wide receivers, especially those top wide receivers. I think the top tier at that position is shrinking while we see the running backs expand. So I don't mind the idea of taking a wide receiver, you know, in the first round, running back in the second. I don't think you have to take running back your first pick or your first 2 picks or anything like that. We're just going to see some more balance to draft strategies in general.
Yeah, I have one more note on that, and then I want to tell everyone about one of our sponsors that I'm really high on and really get a kick out of, too. Talking about running backs, I think one thing has changed pretty drastically at the NFL level, really just the last handful of years or maybe even less, is absolute value of running backs in the passing game. Like Christian McCaffrey is a perfect example. Like, I don't think Carolina's unhappy with drafting Christian McCaffrey, even though he has done very little as a runner. You know, that because playing quarterback is so hard in this league, I think coordinators have realized our best matchups, our easiest throws are running backs that make a difference. Now, that doesn't explain when that Bishop Sankey and Trey Mason and those 2 years of really bad running backs, but I do think it's very, very important now. Any more thoughts on that before I tell us about our buddies at Wink?
No, I think that's well said. And I really am just excited to see how Barkley and Geis, and again, these others, that's not to discount Ronald Jones and Sonny Michel and so many others. I'm just excited to see how the continued influx of young running backs affects really the landscape of dynasty football and the NFL overall. Now, 2019 looks like it'll shift back the other way,
sure,
back to the wide receiver position. Running back looks pretty thin. Of course, we're over a year out from that point, so things could change, certainly.
With all the spread, I think being a scout at the NFL level, it's harder to evaluate wide receivers now than it was a couple years ago. But that's a different topic for another day. I mean, we haven't pumped out great receivers coming to the league, at least compared to the running backs. However, a great product that I really, really recommend to you guys is Wink, W-I-N-C. In Pennsylvania, it's kind of an odd situation. I know most of you can get wine anywhere, but there's only state stores here. There's liquor stores only. And I walk in there, and I know I like wine. I like red. I like dry. But I don't really know. You know, I walk over to that wall, and there's a million bottles in front of me, and I have no idea what to pick, so I just grab something on sale, and I don't know what the heck I'm doing. But I'd always like to learn more, and I don't even know if I'm picking the stuff that I would like most. And that's what's really cool about this product, Wink. Like I said, it's W-I-N-C. Wink makes it very easy to discover great wine. Because Wink's wine experts select wines matched exactly to your specific taste, personalized for you, and they're shipped right to your door, and it starts at only $13 a bottle, which is awesome. There's nothing like coming home to a box of delicious Wink wine selected just for you. It's the best day of your month. Just fill out Wink's palate profile quiz. You'll answer all these simple questions that your average store clerk certainly wouldn't know or be able to ask you or isn't educated enough. And they're really cool questions like, how much salt do you put on your food? How do you feel about blueberries? Do you like this one or this one better? And they'll give you two different foods. How do you take your coffee? You know, things like that. They come out and figure out exactly what your palate is. And then Wink sends you wines that are exactly selected to your specific taste. The more wines you rate and you interact with Wink from that point on, the more personalized your monthly selections become. And each month there's new delicious wines. Right now there's one called Summer Water Rose that I guess everyone's all a flutter about. There's no membership fees. You can skip any month you want, cancel anytime. So you have no reason not to do this if you're a wine drinker. Shipping is covered, which is incredible. It's a heavy item. And if you don't like a bottle they send you, they'll replace it with a bottle you'll love. Zero questions asked. Discover a great wine today. Go to trywink.com/dynastyblueprint. All one word, Dynasty Blueprint. And you'll get $20 off your first shipment. That's TryWink, TryWink.com/DynastyBlueprint. All caps, all one word, $20 off. TryWink.com/DynastyBlueprint.
Matt, our next question comes from Dynasty Football 24/7. We like that name.
Nice.
Thoughts on Jordan Howard going into 2018? Nagy has to help, and they should be upgrading wide receiver. Trubisky hopefully taking a step. Could he creep into the top 5 to 8 range? So Howard's been the running back 10 and running back 14 in his first two seasons. He still kind of gets, I don't want to say disrespected, but I think it's fair to say he gets overlooked, especially after this rookie class that we've already been talking about tonight. He's kind of the forgotten man. In January, his ADP was 34 overall. In February, again, that data that was just released, he dropped half a round. He's barely hanging on in that top 40 overall players. Howard's not really a guy I would love or that I would target in a new draft or really even an existing league, but I'm surprised to see him so low, barely in the top 40. What are your thoughts on Howard?
Agreed. I mean, to me, he's a top 40 dynasty player because he's a high quality runner of the football, and their offense right now, at least, they have a new offensive coordinator, which is huge, and a new head coach, which is huge. And they're going to be more of a Rams style, I think, of offense going forward. But right now, the strength of their team's the interior run, guard to guard. They're going to run it a lot. It's a big, you know, they're a heavy defensive team. Make Trubisky's life easier. And he's a good running back. However, and honestly, I think he's a running back too for fantasy for the foreseeable future. And yeah, he had some down weeks, but game script really has to kill him for him not to factor in. And he's going to score touchdowns. But I think Cohen's the guy to buy here. I expect him to be used a lot more in a variety of ways because Howard just is not a good receiver. And we saw it with Gurley and the Rams. This system is going to want a back to catch the ball. And I think Cohen's going to get a little spike.
I like Cohen as well. And I just hope to see him on the field more. It was frustrating to see his the skills and the talent he flashed and then to see him on the sideline so much last season. You say he's the player, he's the one to buy there. Who are you or what type of draft pick are you giving up? Any second rounder for Cohen?
End of the second, yeah, I would.
Especially late second.
PPR we're talking, I assume?
Sure.
2-8.
Okay, so later portion of the second round. I think once those picks are on the clock, I think you'll be able to get that. Again, deep draft, lots of running backs. Mm-hmm. I had just wrapped up 10 rookie mock drafts. That ADP is also on DLF. And even into the late third and fourth round, I was getting drafting some players that I was pretty happy with. And some of them even considered in the second round. Yeah, I think that's probably a fair spot to target as a buying point for Tariq Cohen.
Yeah. What are you giving up for Howard or what are you asking for Howard? So he's a hard one to put a value on, though.
He is. I mean, you can't sell for less than a mid-first, probably.
I would say 1.6, 1.7.
Yeah. At the same time, I don't know that I would buy for that. Don't you think that some players just get this, just become viewed as boring, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And
he's the definition.
Right. And because of that, it hurts their fantasy value. I think Doug Baldwin was that for years and years. And that's why it took him so long to really gain value to match his production. We could even say Russell Wilson is that at the quarterback position, though. If you watch him play, he's not a boring player to watch, but fantasy players, dynasty players rarely seem excited to get him on their roster in most formats. So I don't know. That's probably not fair, but I do think it's the case.
I don't think it's smart as right. Fantasy owners, but for the most part, we're in this to have fun. And when you put that sticker on the board or you make the pick or you add a guy to your team, you want to get excited about it, but I'm not sure that helps you make money.
Yeah, that's true. That's one of those biases. Adam Harstad talks a lot about one of those that we need to overcome. Mm-hmm. Next question from Jason. Brandon Cook's value, his ADP is still high, but his perceived value seems much lower. Who are some running backs or wide receivers you would rather have who might be even a tier or two below him? So before we start maybe getting into his value, I saw this poll from my partner in crime, Curtis Patrick, my partner over at Dynasty Command Center. He put this poll out on Twitter the other day, and I was really surprised at the results. He's asking you to pick one of these four wide receivers. Cooks was one of them. Stephon Diggs, Amari Cooper, and Tyreek Hill. So first of all, who would you choose? Dynasty, just dynasty PPR format. Hill, Diggs, Cooper, Cooks. Which one do you want, Matt?
Wow. I'm sitting as you were spitting them off, I was hoping you'd say one. I'd be like, oh, that's an easy one. I'll take him. I think Hill's last because of PPR. How many catches is he going to get? Who? Edelman comes back. I don't think Crabtree will be there. I'm just saying random things off the top of my head as I look at this list. I don't know. I think they're all pretty equal. I mean, I guess I'd take Cooper.
Well, the results, and he got a large amount of votes, a couple thousand votes, I think. And the results were pretty equal, but surprising to me. So Hill actually won the poll, 31%.
Okay.
Diggs was close behind, 29%. Amari Cooper, 28%. And Matt, if you're any good at math, you know there's not much left.
No, Brandon, right.
Brandon Cooks, just 12%. So not only last of the group, but by quite a bit away from even the third place guy, Cooper, there. So
he doesn't stand out to me as the worst of the group.
I mean, right. I was surprised by that as well. Jason mentioned his ADP is still high. He's correct. His ADP places him as the 21st overall player. He is looking at those names we just mentioned. He's behind Cooper. He's behind Tyreek Hill. He's right in front of Stephon Diggs. So Curtis definitely posed a difficult question with those four mm-hmm. ranked and valued so closely. But I was surprised at the gap. I think, again, Jason's spot on. His value, at least his trade value, is down. I'd probably just hang on to him at this point. Or maybe even buy low. If his value is down that much, I'm still glad to have him on my roster.
He's very young. He scores touchdowns. I mean, Brady's around another year or two. Yeah. I mean, if I could give you Cooper for Cooks and a nice pick or something, yeah, okay.
So some of the players below him in our new ADP, you can just tell me if you want any of these guys over Cooks. I mentioned Diggs is right below him. What about McCaffrey?
Probably, but not by leaps and bounds. That's a coin flip, but probably.
I think that's, I mean, that would be viewed as a fair trade. Cooks for yeah. McCaffrey. Melvin Gordon?
No.
Allen Robinson?
No.
Darius Geis? So you're talking 1.02?
Yeah, it's I like Geis better than those other options you mentioned.
So you're trading Cooks for the 1.02?
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. Corey Davis.
No, but I like him.
I think we maybe just hit a tear drop there. Yeah. Jarvis Landry.
No.
Yeah. Devontae Freeman.
Nope.
Yep. All right. Yeah. So Cooks is 21 overall right now, maybe very little difference between him and down to Geis, Corey Davis, 26, 27. So still pretty much in that same range. If the value's not there, just hang on to him. Next question from Tubaca. I love it.
Nice.
Who are some of the best backups to target late in a startup draft? Backup running backs to target late in a startup draft. We already talked about Tariq Cohen. I don't know how late he's mm-hmm. going to go, but I would certainly target him in a startup draft or any other league, really. I like the idea of buying Gio Bernard cheap. I do expect Mixon to improve, but I thought Bernard was impressive when he was on the field this season, and his value
really strong.
Yeah, his value is really not there. It's basically the same as it was since they drafted Mixon, which is in the gutter. So you can get Gio pretty cheap. What about the Jets? What are you doing there? Certainly they're going to have to add somebody. Forte is,
Forte won't be back.
Right. Forte is going to be a goner. And then they've got Bilal Powell and Elijah McGuire. Would you take a shot on McGuire at some point?
If I'm the Jets, I'm addressing other things, using Powell a lot this year, and then finding my running back of the future next year. The team I was going to bring up is the Bills. If they sign or draft, quote, a backup for Shady, I want him.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, especially on the draft front. A lot of the a lot of the players that might be slotted in as backups, as running back twos on their team, are going to be these incoming rookies. And if any of them do lose value because of that, you know, if Rashard Penny, somebody like that, somebody in that range goes to the Bills and falls to the late first or early second because he's Shady's backup, those are the ones to take advantage of.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple names I came up with. This guy, I'm getting a lot more feedback now that I don't think CJ Anderson will be back. So If you can do it now and pay for Booker, and I don't love his game, but they seem to adore this guy. I think he's going to be their number one running back next year.
Yeah, I've seen that floated around. We did see the report earlier this week that Anderson is likely going to be a cap cut there. I think I'm probably on the other side, and you might as well wait until Anderson is officially cut, because then maybe the hype picks up a little bit more. But if this opens a selling window for Booker, if I can get any second rounder for him, I'm taking that.
Oh, I'd give you 2.9, 2.10 for him.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll have a deal. So you think he's worth the same as Tariq Cohen then?
Yeah. I mean, he's a different style. I think he's a much better receiver than people realize, but he could be a number one on an NFL team, assuming they like him as a player more than you and I do. And I just think they do.
Yeah.
And maybe they draft Quentin Nelson and sign Kirk Cousins, and now we're talking.
Next question from Brian. How do you play the off-season market? Are there different times in the off-season to make different kind of deals, pre or post NFL combine, NFL draft, et cetera? Great question. I think first of all, really almost the entire offseason is a good time to buy veterans. Everybody is going to become infatuated with this new rookie class, with the rookie class that we just saw in 2017, and they want to build their teams around those young players. And we talk about it every other podcast, and every site and every article talks about that, yet it still happens. You know, we can't help ourselves. But that does create value and a buying opportunity with those veterans. As far as buying other assets, other pieces, I like packaging two or three players, and this is becoming more difficult to do as well, to pull off, but I like packaging two or three players for an upgrade. And that can really be done anytime. But if you're trying to buy that stud, and then just buying picks. We've already talked about the depth of the class a couple times. So buying second and third rounders, which hopefully you can package those up and turn those into first rounders, or worst case, you're taking advantage of that depth.
Yeah, I think those are great ideas. The one thing I was thinking, especially this far away from the draft, is if you're making a trade with somebody and you're at 110, and he's at 1.7, let's flip ones to make the deal happen. You know, like moving up a spot or two, it can really pay off when the draft rolls around. And some owners out there don't recognize how steep it can be. Even, you know, and do it all the time. Move from 2.10 to 2.6, and okay, then we'll make the deal. You know, every little baby step you can to creep up the draft board, I think, is a good way of looking at it. And also free agencies. Strange to me, because you kind of have to view the public feeling on them, you know, like Crowell and Hyde and McKinnon and 10 other free agent to be running backs, or Jarvis Landry and all these other free agents to be. Do I buy them now, not knowing where they're going, hoping they land in a great spot, or do I dump them with my trade partner thinking they might land in a good spot, or when they do perceivably, even better, when they perceivably land in a good spot, do I dump them then when maybe their value spikes? Like Landry comes to mind, because is he really going to catch more balls than he did in Miami? It's almost impossible to do. He averaged exactly 100 receptions over the last 3 years, and almost every receiver that changes teams, their value goes down.
Yeah, I think another way to take advantage of this is just to really stay on top of the depth charts. I tweeted something out earlier this week about the current running back depth charts with some gaps, some unknowns at several different positions. You've got the Patriots, Jets, Steelers, Browns, Colts, who else? Redskins, Giants, Lions, Tampa Bay, Seattle, and San Francisco. That many teams. What? That's nearly a dozen teams need a running back one. And then you also have Houston, Oakland, Denver, and Carolina, who are rumored to part ways with their starter, Miller, Lynch, Anderson, and Stewart. So there's a lot of gaps to fill there. So when you talk about a guy like Crowell, a guy like even Frank Gore, you know, we're just right. done with Frank Gore. He's a free agent. There's a lot of open jobs. And even with the so many running backs coming in this rookie class, Frank Gore can probably find a job if he wants one. So I'm not going to go out and target Frank Gore, but a guy higher on that list like Crowell, if you can buy him cheap with the understanding he's probably going to get a starting job only because of the volume of available jobs and of openings, I should say.
Or he's an injury away from a starting job. In week 10, he's the clear-cut guy, or you know?
Right.
And one other note I wanted to make just about the offseason, and this takes a little bit of in-depth, is when people are signing deals, go see how much it's for. Because if the NFL is giving these guys big money, they view them big. If it just is a one-year deal, prove it. You know, people get all excited. Oh, he's going to a great situation. Yeah, but they didn't give him much money. So maybe they don't like him as much as you think.
Yeah, well, Glennon, we already talked about Glennon. He's the example of that. He got the big contract. It looked big when it was reported, but it was basically a one-year deal, and now they're likely going to cut him.
Right, and the second they signed him, they probably thought, we're going to draft the guy in the top five.
Right. Next question from Michael. I'm going to let you handle this one, Matthew. Mm. Is the offensive line the biggest reason for Mixon's struggles as a rookie?
If I have to say yes or no, I'd say yes. Because I thought he flashed as a receiver. I liked what I saw with him in his ball when the ball was in his hands. I think there's a ton of ability there. So, yeah, I'm just going to make it a short answer. Yeah, I do think so.
I think I agree. I'm not the scout that you are, or I don't have a great understanding of offensive line play, but if we assume that's true, the concern is, can they fix that in one offseason? If not, then...
No, but you got to think it gets better. I mean, maybe not. I mean, yeah.
I hope so, yeah. Michael also wondered if he should be still ranked with the top 2017 rookie running backs, Fournette, Hunt, Kamara, and so on. He's probably at the bottom of the list at this point for me. Mm-hmm. But in that class, I don't think that's an insult.
No, right. He's a big asset.
Right. He's still, at least in the running, to be a top 12 running back probably in Dynasty.
And it wouldn't take much for him to be in the big time conversation either. I mean, right. Yeah, I mean, our tune may be very different on him a year from now.
Next question from Colin. What's the value for the Green Bay running backs?
Ooh, I'm glad he talked this. I'm excited about this one.
I looked up their ADP because it's just kind of a really just a mess right now, right? They have three guys.
I disagree.
Okay. <all right. laughs> They have three guys that are valued fairly similarly. We saw Williams kind of take control of that backfield with the injuries to the other guys. Aaron Jones is the top drafted Green Bay running back right now. 99 overall is his ADP. Ty Montgomery, who has been rumored to maybe move back to wide receiver, which is something you've kind of speculated on earlier, even before the season ended, 122. And then Jamal Williams is 132. So I'm probably just avoiding those altogether. But I think you have a different take, it sounds like.
Well, the reason that I think Montgomery to receiver makes sense is they're either going to have to restructure or cut Nelson and Cobb. You know, that those guys are expensive and they're not living up to the money. So there's going to be something that happens here. It doesn't mean those two are going to go away, but I bet one of the two is gone. I doubt they both restructure and take a lot less. I think Montgomery can do the Cobb role well. I also think he could be the burner outside the numbers. All that being said, Davante Adams is the number one receiver there, and it isn't even close. But I think they're happy enough with their running backs, the guys they drafted last year, to make that move happen, to make Montgomery a wide out. And to me, I like Jamal Williams, but of all the dynasty guys out there right now, I think Aaron Jones might be my number one buy. I think he's much better than Williams, and that offense will be much better than it was last year. I'm going out on a limb, but I think right the second is the lowest Jones's value will be in the next 3-4 years.
All right. I know Jones has a lot of fans. It seems like almost everybody at this point prefers him to the others without considering draft or trade cost. I'll ask the same question I did with Cohen. He's your number one buy of the offseason. What are you giving up? Are you giving up a late first for Aaron Jones?
I'll give up 110 right now.
Okay.
And well, you know the rookie class better than I do. So I've been known to get a little too aggressive this time of year before I really know the guys. But he's only been a year 1 year. It's not like you're buying an old dude, you know. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd like to structure it differently, but I'm getting Aaron Jones.
I think if you offer 110, you'll get him in.
Oh, I think you get him, yeah.
Almost every league.
Yeah. And I don't think you would ever be able to do that a year from now, is my point.
So are you, if you're building a team, whether a new draft or just whatever the situation, are you trying to get Williams as well? Do you want to cover yourself that way? Or are you just putting it all on Jones and don't want to bother with Williams?
If it works out, but I'm not going out of my way to do it.
Okay. Yeah, next question from K White Terrific. That can't be Kevin White. Must be somebody else. he says, what is the minimum you would accept for Julio Jones, Le'Veon Bell, AJ Green, Mike Evans, listing some of the top players in the game. Bell, Mike Evans, both mid first rounders in startup. Jones and Green have fallen off just a little bit, both still firmly second rounders in a startup draft. So Jones, Bell, Green, and Evans, do you consider all of those guys sells, first of all?
No. I think Evans is a little unlike the others.
Right.
And I think Bell is a little unlike the others because I think Bell is very much a sell. I just said that Jones is maybe my number one buy in the league, one sell.
Do you, insider information here, do you still expect him back in Pittsburgh?
Yes, and I know their term deal. To me, that would be the worst option. I don't think that makes sense at all. I think he gets done. I think he gets franchised, gets run in the ground again, and is sent on his way. I just don't think he looks as good as he did last year. That's my big worry here.
Yeah. I've got a few shares.
Still great.
Of Lev Bell. You have me worried. The minimum, I mean, all of these guys are still big time values. I've talked on here that if I have Jones or Green, I'm trying to pivot down to a younger wide receiver. Obviously we already said that's the play that everybody's going to try to make this off season. But if you can take advantage of name value and get Davante Adams, I don't think Michael Thomas is still an option. I think that ship has sailed.
If you're rebuilding Corey Davis.
Right. So now we're down to the guys we were talking about earlier, Cooper, Hill, Cooks, Diggs. Maybe you get one of those guys and a second rounder or another lesser piece. That those are probably the kind of deals you're looking at with Jones and Green at this point. Bell, same type of idea. Move down to one of these rookies from the 2017 class. If you can't get Barkley for him.
for any of those guys.
Well, no, not for, yeah, right. Not right, for any of those, right. But not for Bell specifically. So if you're thinking rookies or picks, it becomes Bell versus Geis. I still want more than Geis.
I do too. And so, you should be able to get that.
Right. So 1.2 plus something. And then Mike Evans, I'm just not selling. I know some people are worried efficiency wise, and he's not going to see the volume that he saw 2 years ago or 2 or 3 years ago. I'm still a believer, and I'm still hanging on. If his value has dropped, I'm a buyer, not a seller.
Right. And like Evans to me, if it's a startup, is clearly my pick there. If all right. four of them are on the board, right?
Right.
That's an easy one. Yeah, and Bell would be last for me, actually.
Yeah, I think probably for me as well.
Hey, it took me a while, but I just made a deal for Aaron Jones about 2 weeks ago. And I just went, since we were just talking about that.
Yeah, I'm really happy. What was it?
You're going to love it. But I traded Devontae Parker for Aaron Jones and Marcus Mariota.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do love that. I'm out on Parker. I was concerned right. a year ago. I traded him for the 1.06, which ended up, I think, being Mike Williams. And no, still don't even have any hesitation or regrets about that move. So, yeah, I like this one. I like buying low on Mariota, buying low on Winston. I'm on board with that move. So, yeah, I like that deal for you.
And it wasn't like it was an underhanded move by me, but I sold it along the lines of, hey, Landry's not going to be back. Parker's going to get more targets. I just don't know that he's capable of doing what he should with those targets.
Did you attach that with your trade offer, though? Were you that
No,
guy?
We went back.
Okay,
and, no,
okay,
no.
okay, okay.
But just we went back because sure. he asked about Parker. I was rebuilding, and that was one of my younger guys. He's like, I really like Parker. I'm like, well, I like him too because he's going to be getting more targets.
I just wanted to see if this was going to be the last episode of Dynasty Blueprint.
I'm so smart. I used to be a scout. You may not know Jarvis Landry was a
free agent. All right.
You know what I am smart about, though? Let's tell people about Harry's. We're getting sponsors left and right. Harry's have been with us for a while. They've been really good to us. I've mentioned to you many times that I've done other podcasts in the past that Harry sponsored, and they totally hooked me years ago. So every day I shave with Harry's. I have really sensitive skin, and that's why I got away from blades and I went to electric. And then Harry's came along, and boom, I am back. So as is the case with myself, 3 million guys have switched over to Harry's right now because it's such a great shave at a fair price. There's two ordinary dudes named Jeff and Andy who are really fed up with the whole market, getting charged an arm and leg for razor blades. So they just started Harry's to fix shaving. Harry stripped out the unnecessary features, all the nonsense you see with some of these things, like, you know, heating blades and a bazillion lubricating strips and all those things, and therefore the unnecessary costs to deliver customers with one perfect razor at an amazing price. A good shave comes down to good blades. Because Harry owns the factory, they're able to deliver amazing quality blades for just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you pay at your local store. All products are backed by 100% quality guarantee. Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades, they'll give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/dynasty. That's dynasty, all caps. I'm not sure if that matters or not, but do it anyway, just to be safe. So this is what you do. You claim your free trial offer from Harry's today to $13 value. All you do is pay for shipping, which is just a couple of bucks. You get a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision blades with lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel that smells great, and a travel blade cover. To get your free trial set, go to harrys.com/dynasty right now. That's harrys.com/dynasty.
All right, Matt, let's pick up the pace. We'll try to get to the rest of these questions. John says, how do you value players that had a down year such as Crowder or Pryor? And also, how do you value players coming off injuries from the previous year, like Edelman and Meredith? I think you can still buy low on those injured players, especially guys like Meredith, who missed the entire year. Even though we're now into the offseason, I think there's still some discount to be had there. I'm glad to buy Crowder still. I don't think even though he's going to have some quarterback questions.
Oh, Alex Smith's going to like throwing short passes to Crowder.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That may not may not be considered a downgrade from.
No, maybe not for him.
Just for him at least. Crowder, I don't know if he fits that. I don't know if he just had a down year or if he's just not as good as we thought he was. So Crowder's,
his stock isn't super low right now, is it?
I'm sorry.
I mean, his stock hasn't dropped dramatically, right?
Crowder, no. Right. Crowder's still up there. Pryor is who I meant to say there. Pryor's the one. I don't know if he had a bad year or if he's just not that good. He's a free agent again. He had to settle for a one-year deal last year. Reportedly didn't have very many suitors and can't think that's going to change. Already some rumors he'll go back to Cleveland. We'll see how that plays out. I mean, if he's on the waiver wire, I'm probably going to grab him. But I'm not paying anything for him. Right. Yeah.
There's a lot of ability there.
Right. Charles, this one's more for you as well, Matt. Charles says, is there any valid reason outside of quote unquote established one quarterback leagues to not play the super flex format? So I love playing super flex leagues, the kitchen sink leagues, and some of my others are super flex and they're my favorite leagues. And I wonder why you haven't taken that leap yet.
That's a good question. I guess more laziness and just distracted, and I haven't got a great offer that I jumped on for a league. And I kind of made it a point over the last year or so not to join any more leagues because I feel like I wasn't putting enough effort into the ones I was in.
Yeah.
So, you know, I felt like I was spread too thin, but I'm interested. I mean, you know better than I would. Do you think if you could only be in one league, would it be Superflex?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Definitely.
I think it's really cool that quarterbacks, because the real world quarterbacks are so important, that they're more important in such a league. Like, to me, that's more realistic.
Right. All right. Well, we will wrap it up there. Thanks again to all of our listeners and all the questions that were submitted. We'll be back next week with more Dynasty Blueprint.